sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but do not quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tin of the clouds of doubt. And you may never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things go wrong that you must not quit. So I got good news today. Today's Sunday, and we don't quit on Sunday. We don't have tomorrow, and yesterday's gone. We can't do nothing about it. We haven't got to tomorrow yet, but we got today, and we don't quit on Sundays. You get up in the morning with that same attitude. It may be Monday, but I don't quit on Monday. Amen. Finish the race. So I come to tell somebody today, don't quit. Let's consider Job for a moment. He knew about troubles. He was a man of many troubles. And when Job's three friends came to him, they didn't even recognize him. He had the troubles of life, allowed the troubles of life to wear him down. And it seemed that the trials of Job were enough to change his face and change his countenance. Troubles will rob you of your joy. Nehemiah says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so that's when the enemy comes in with little subtle things day in and day out and robs our strength. Because he knows that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that it's evident when people are in trouble sometimes because their countenance will show it. Their face will show it. So you may have been through some trouble, but God is the one who brings restoration. Amen. And our word for this year is that this is a year that we're going to recover all. And when you're recovering something, it's been restored to you. Amen. So he's the one that brings restoration. Isaiah 61:7 says, "For your shame you will have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be your strength." In the Amplified Bible it says, "You shall have a twofold recompense." So when God begins to restore to you, it's going to be better than you had it before. He doesn't take something old and try to renew it for you. He gives you a brand new thing. Amen. Are you ready for that brand new thing? Amen. So, you know, we talk about workman's compensation before, and you're familiar with that word. If you get injured on the job, they pay you for being off because you got injured on the job. And God is saying that you've been working for me, you've been in my service, and the enemy has come and caused trouble to come into your life, and you felt like you've been injured in some way. And he said, "I'm going to give you workers' compensation for the time that the enemy has come in and tried to make you quit and tried to make you feel like a failure. He said, "I'm giving you double for your trouble. I'm going to give you double for your trouble." Amen. So with God, he restores double for your trouble. Zechariah 9:12 tells us, "Even today I declare that I will restore double to you." Amen. And when God begins to restore, it's a never-ending flow. It's a never-ending thing. Amen. So in the end, God restored everything back to him. His health, finances, and family. See, God cares about every facet of your life. He just doesn't pick a part of your life and says, "I'm going to restore that part." But he is concerned about every facet of our life. Amen. So life sometimes don't go as we plan, but it never takes God by surprise. Some of you may be 40, 50, or 60 years old, and you look back and say, "I didn't accomplish anything that I set out to do." That's okay, because God says, "I will redeem the time for you. I will make up the lost time." And the path that you're on at this moment is the path that you are supposed to be on. Because God's going to take the failure that you feel like that you have been a failure in life and turn it around for your good. Amen? So when trouble comes into your life, at times it seems as if we were just dropped. Because when trouble comes to our life, sometimes it takes us by surprise because we're not expecting it. So you've heard the saying that the bottom just dropped out. When you got that unexpected phone call or that unexpected thing that happened, it seems like the bottom just dropped out of your life. This means that something unexpectedly happened. But I've got good news for you today. Because the word is the good news. Amen. The word is the good news. You may have been dropped, but you've not been forsaken. You may have been dropped, but you're not going to be destroyed. Amen? You may have been dropped, but you are still alive, and God's plans and purposes have not been canceled. Amen? So aren't you glad that the 23rd Psalm is not just for funerals, that it's not for the dead folks, but it's for the living folks? Because those that are still here have got a life to live. Amen? So because Psalms 23 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God says, whatever enemies that is, whatever is in this word is yours. And everything that's contrary to this word is the work of the enemy. And he said, I'm going to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. If you are sick, you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. You sit down at the table of healing, glory to God. If you need a financial blessing, God says you have been blessed already, sit down, amen, at the table of God's blessings. Amen, glory to God. So no matter what has knocked you down, you've got to get back to the table. You've got to get back to the table. Amen, because that's where the food's at. Amen. You've got to get back to the table. The table has been prepared for you, so you've got to get back. Most people, when they've been knocked down, think they have to start over. But he's saying to you today, just get up. All you've got to do is get up. When Jesus had people in the Bible to do things, and he was getting ready to do a miracle for them, he required an action on their part. Amen. So we just need to get up and do something that we may not have never done before, because he has some things prepared for you at the table. But you've got to get up and get to the table. Amen. And that goes along with what Gail was saying earlier, that when we're in a race and we stumble and we fall and we have those troubles, we don't go back and say, God, I've got to start all over again. I've got to do it all over again. No, you're not. No. You are right where God wants you to be at this moment in your life. And I've come to tell somebody, God is redeeming the time for you. He is redeeming the times for you. Job 11:16 says, you will surely forget your trouble, recalling it as waters go by. Have you ever looked back over at your life at something you've gone through and you thought, how did I ever go through that? You know, God's grace is sufficient. He is able to cause you to stand. So the trouble you may find yourself in today, no matter how you've been dropped, it may have been because of some bad choices. See, we blame a lot on the devil. It ain't the devil's fault. Amen. It's just because we have made some stupid choices in life. But God's a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. Amen. So it may just because you're the target of the enemy. Maybe you may be ready to give up on yourself. You may have felt as if others have given up on you. But there's one thing I know about God, and he's not giving up on you. When everybody else has given up on you, God has never given up on you. David said, I'll just encourage myself in the Lord. I've lost everything, but I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And when you start encouraging yourself in the Lord, you'll begin to hear what the Lord is telling you to do, to take action. Amen? So Adam and Eve disobeyed God, the very first rule in the Bible, but God never gave up on them. Abraham wanted and Sarah laughed, but God never gave up on them. Amen? Moses hid and shook with fear, but God never gave up on him. Amen? Saul went insane, but God never gave up on him. Get this, somebody. David plotted against Uriah, but God never gave up. Asa sold out to Assyria, but God never gave up. Israel fell into pieces, but God never gave up. John the Baptist was beheaded, but God never gave up his mission of getting the word out. Peter denied him. He even knew him, but God never gave up. The disciples all ran away, but God never gave up. That's why we don't quit on Sundays. Amen. That's why we don't quit today. Because God has not given up on you. And the plan and purpose he had you for your life before you was ever conceived by your mom and daddy, it's still the same. You can't mess up too bad for God not to redeem. God has got you covered. He's got your back. And all heaven is cheering you on. Amen. So maybe instead of us today, I never gave up. I know that there's a table waiting for me, and I may come with a limp. I may come with a bruise or two. I may come all messed up, but I've got to get to the table because that's where I know I'm going to be fed. So don't count me out. Don't count that person out that keeps going back to that drug addiction. Don't count them out, because you never know at that moment when it may be that moment that they lay aside, walk away from it for good. Amen. Oh, woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When I said that, I heard something shift in church. Something has shifted. Hallelujah. I come against every spirit of addiction, whether it's prescription addiction, any spirit of addiction, pornography. I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. And I say, enemy, you take your hands off of people. People that are addicted, and that they get addicted to you as much as they have been addicted to that thing that's held them in bondage. How? Oh, hallelujah. 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 I don't only pray for the people that are using and that are addicted, but I pray for the suppliers that they get delivered. That they get delivered and set free. And however it's supplied into the county, into this country, we cut it off. We cut it off at the borders in the name of Jesus. We dispatch heavenly angels to our borders. We dispatch heavenly angels to our borders. The drugs will not come into this country and destroy it. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. So God's got you. The word is after you. Those people that you've been praying for, your kids and grandkids and the people you've been praying for, God says to tell you that the word is after them. And it's not going to let them go until they see deliverance. Hallelujah. The word is after you this morning. The word is after you. It's here before you. And it's going to catch up to you, and it's going to bring the deliverance, hallelujah, that's been needed. And you are going to see restoration as you recover all in Jesus' name. The word is after you, hallelujah. It's after your children. Michael Jordan said, I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my life, in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game to the winning shot. And missed. I have failed over and over again in my life. That is why I succeed. Because if you never fail, you won't know success. You won't know the joy of victory if you have not failed. Amen. John 5, we're going to close with this story. John 5 teaches us about the pool of Bethesda, where many sick people came, lame and blind and crippled, and they would gather together to wait for an angel to stir the waters. And when the waters were stirred, the first person to get into the water was healed of whatever he or she had. Now, I tell you, folks, there's a lot of folks waiting for things to happen. When God said, it's happening, you just need to get into the flow. You just need to get into the glory, amen? It's already here, church, amen? Stop waiting for the waters to be stirred. They are stirred, amen? So John tells us a certain man was there, and he had been unable to walk for 38 years. See, I want to tell you, I don't care how long somebody's been in trouble. I don't care how long somebody's been addicted. It's time. I just know it's time. And when Jesus came by, he saw him laying there, and knowing that he had been able to walk for such a long time, he asked him, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? John 5:6. The man explained, but I've no one to help me to get into the water. And Jesus said, just rise up, take up your bed and walk. Your deliverance is not dependent on people. Your deliverance is not dependent on somebody to bring it to you. God says it's here. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. He said, I can't get healed because I'm waiting for somebody to help me into the water. And I know we all need help sometimes, but I'm telling you, the deliverance of the Lord is here. Ephesians 1:3 says that he's already has given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It has been given to us. That's why we don't have to work for it. We just receive it by faith and believe that it's done. Amen. So the man explained to him, I have no one to help me. And upon hearing this, Jesus said to the man, rise up, take your bed, and walk. And immediately, the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. It doesn't need but one touch from Jesus, one word from Jesus, to change the circumstances of somebody's life. Amen. One word is all it takes. The man who had been waiting 38 years for someone to get him into the pool, he thought this was where the miracle was. But Jesus came by with just one word. The man got up and walked. And your answer to what you're believing God for may not be found in what you think. So it's time to look at things from a different perspective. Just because God moved one way before doesn't mean he's going to move that way again. And sometimes that holds us back from our breakthrough because we say, well, God, you've done it this way before. I believe you're going to do it this way again. And sometimes he said, no, it's a new day, a new way. And you need to start looking from heaven's perspective at how I want it done this time. Amen? Just because God did it one way at one time, he may be doing it a different way this time. Now, this gospel does not change. His word does not change. But the way that he presents that word to the generation of people that are on the earth now may be in a different format to be able to reach them. Amen? So Ephesians, as I was saying a while ago, says, blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Remember, Abraham's blessings are sure all because of Jesus. Amen? Come on, somebody. Abraham's blessings are ours. Who has blessed us? God has already done everything he's going to do. That's when we come and we pray to God. We don't come begging and pleading and squalling and stuff. We come just coming into agreement, as I've said so many times. He's just looking for somebody to agree with what has already been done. That's what prayer is. Prayer is thanksgiving. Prayer is praise. Amen. He said, you go heal the sick. You go cast out devils. You lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. So our part is to rise up, take up, and walk. We are called to believe. So we may want to ask the Lord if we've been laying on a bed far too long. Because we know a bed is a place to sleep. It's a place of comfort. So have we been in the bed too long? When the Lord says, rise up, it's a command from heaven. He says, you take action. If you want to be healed, crippled man, if you don't want to be paralyzed, no longer crippled man, rise up, take your bed, and walk. Woo! This man was made whole, strengthened, as he was able to pick up his bed and walk because of one word. The word was after him for a long, long time. But it wasn't until that crippled man saw Jesus, believed what Jesus said, and said, I don't have to get into the pool to be healed because Jesus stopped by. Amen. So it only takes one word from Jesus to make us completely whole. The man was paralyzed, his body was contorted, and he was unable to walk. But when he saw Jesus, he was restored. So if you're feeling paralyzed in any way, if you feel paralyzed, remember that our God is an awesome God, and he's in the business of restoration. Now, Bethesda means the house of mercy or the house of grace. The house of mercy and house of grace. I've talked awful fast, and I hope that you, because the anointing runs faster than my brain does. So if you didn't get all this, just get a tape and listen to it over and over. Maybe after the fifth time you can understand everything I said. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. And if you've not received the baptism in the Holy Ghost this morning, the Bible says you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning, the speaking in tongues, you need it. You need it. Hallelujah. Nothing like your heavenly language. If you just want to be refilled this morning, I want to lay hands on you. Amen. And I'm just going to believe that heavenly language is going to come out, and you're going to begin to pray in tongues, sing in tongues, hallelujah, and just worship the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. So if you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning, or if you just want to be refilled, I want you to come up here right now. Amen. And I'm going to lay hands on you, and God's just going to refill you, and baptize you in the Holy Ghost this morning. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, just lift your hands right now. Father, I thank you. Just receive. Refill us with the Holy Ghost today. Refill us with that heavenly prayer language, Father God. Oh, thank you, Father God. Out of our bellies flows rivers of living waters that we pray in the Spirit and pray with the understanding also. Oh, hallelujah. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now, church. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Refill us now with your precious Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, these signs shall follow them that believe. You have pain in your body right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to those kidneys to begin to function normally in the name of Jesus. Whatever's causing those kidneys not to function, I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just pray for someone's vision right now in the Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That report that you've received is not the final report of the Lord. I speak to your vision to be restored, not only physically, but spiritually to those that are blinded to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Foot pain healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I speak God's favor over you. God's word is running after you. That you are blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. That this is a season, a manifestation of God's promises in your life. Go out and bless somebody this week. Tell them how much Jesus loves them, that he's not quit on them, and for them not to quit. You keep loving them. You just keep loving them. Hallelujah. Be blessed in the name of Jesus and have a prosperous week. Amen. Amen and amen.